listeners, welcome to the Women Governance Trailblazers podcast, where we listen to the journeys of trailblazing women in the corporate governance field, their passions, struggles, and commitment to improving how companies and boards function. My name is Courtney Camlett, and my co-host is Liz Dungy.
Hi, everyone.
Liz and I are both super passionate about governance, and we want to spotlight some of the amazing trailblazing women who share that passion. We love connecting with guests from different paths and industries to hear their perspectives on what surprised them in their career and where they think the field of corporate governance is going. For this episode, we are delighted to be talking with Dottie Schindlinger. Dottie is Executive Director of the Diligent Institute, the corporate governance research and programs arm of Diligent, the leading AI-powered provider of secure board communications and governance, risk and compliance software. She co-authored the book, Governance in the Digital Age, A Guide for the Modern Corporate Board Director, co-hosts the Corporate Director podcast, and co-created Diligent certification programs for directors, including AI ethics and board oversight. Dottie was a founding member of the tech startup Board Effect, which was acquired by Diligent in 2016. Currently, Dottie serves on the boards of the Foundation for Delaware County and the Pennsylvania Safety School Institute. She is a guest lecturer at the MIT Sloan School of Business Executive Education Program and a fellow of the Salzburg Global Seminar for Corporate Governance. She is a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania and lives in suburban Philadelphia. Welcome, Dottie.
Thanks so much, Courtney and Liz. It's great to be here with you.
Well, we are delighted to have you. And I know you recently celebrated the 20th anniversary of your journey to help develop and build Board Effect, which, as Courtney mentioned, is now a Diligent brand. And it's pretty impressive that you had the foresight 20 years ago that technology would play a major role in shaping the work of boards of directors. Can you tell us a little bit more about your journey and the changing impact that you've seen with technology over time?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, having a 20th anniversary of anything makes you feel real old. So let's just get that out of the way. Seasoned, veteran. Let's go with some of those words instead. Yeah, no, you know, listen, it's really fascinating, right? 20 years ago, when we were thinking about doing this, I mean, I'll give a sort of little bit of the backstory. I had a dear friend who had a boutique website development firm. This is a long time ago. And I, you know, gotten to know her, really liked her a lot. And she called me one day. At the time, I was really focused on nonprofit governance, and I was working at LaSalle University's nonprofit center. And she kind of called me up and said, hey, I have this idea of creating a piece of software for nonprofit boards of directors, just kind of help them be a bit more effective and productive. And what do you think? And without hesitation, I said, you got to hire me. She thought I was kidding. And so later she advertised a completely different role for the website firm. And I applied. And she's like, why are you applying for this job? I said, because I want to come build that board thing. It sounds great. And the reason I was so excited about it was, you know, back in that time, I was spending a lot of time working with nonprofit boards on how to be more effective, you know, how to have better, more productive conversations in the boardroom, how to govern better. And, you know, we'd do these consulting engagements and we'd do training programs. They'd all seem to go really great. And I'd call them up 6 months later and say, like, so how's it going? You know, have you implemented all those things we talked about? And nothing had changed. So I started to get really demoralized. Like, how are we ever going to make governance better? And I really thought, you know what? If we could sort of automate best practice, we might finally have a chance to make governance better. If we could take some of the things that we know boards should be doing and make it easier, streamline it, you know, put some technology behind it. And at this time, you got to remember, this is like the early days of the internet, right? Everybody was building their own websites and, you know, hey, we got to figure out a new piece of SaaS software to do everything. And it just seemed like a no-brainer to me. Like, we need to have SaaS software really dedicated to good governance. And that's how we got started on the journey to Board Effect. Now, Diligent was always like the cool kid at school that you wish would like hang out with you at the lunch table. And so they were our biggest frenemies. You know, we were always trying to be like Diligent, beat Diligent at deals. You know, how can we steal business from them? Like, that was always the thing. And so when they came calling about an acquisition, we were secretly thrilled, maybe not so secretly. And it really was the greatest day of our lives when that happened. You know, when we got acquired by Diligent. You know, and look, when you're kind of a founder and you start up something, you get acquired, you kind of think they're going to say, thank you very much, go do something totally unrelated now. But Brian Stafford, who is still our CEO, kind of sat me down and said, listen, we don't really have a lot of, you know, governance geeks here. He didn't use that word. That's my word. and asked me if I wanted to keep doing the work I was doing, but for Diligent. And so that was the second best day of my life, because then that eventually became what we call the Diligent Institute. And now I get to spend all my time talking to directors, thinking about governance trends, researching that, writing about it, speaking about it on the podcast, doing webinars about it, speaking at conferences. It's really the thing I'm the most nerdy about, thing I'm most passionate about, and I get to do it for a job. So that's pretty cool.
That is incredibly cool. And board effectiveness is absolutely still a conversation, 20 years later, and the technology is changing, but it's still very relevant.
Yeah, I mean, and to your point, there's so much happening in governance. I remember 15 years ago, 20 years ago, saying to my then CEO, like, how are we going to not get bored doing this? And 20 years later, I don't think there's been a boring day, not even like a boring hour, because governance is it seems like it would be kind of a boring topic, but the truth is it's really about the way groups of people decide to do things. And so you have personalities involved, you've got dynamics involved, you've got internal and external pressures, you've got a whole host of risks and opportunities. It's not for the faint of heart. I think the board director job ostensibly is one of the hardest jobs out there, because truthfully, if a decision can be made elsewhere in the organization, it would be. It only comes to the board when and if it's hard enough that they need that kind of gravitas to think it through and to make a decision. So, the more that we can do to help support that and do that better, I just think that benefits all of us. I mean, I know that sounds a little bit like I'm a Girl Scout, but I really think that's true. If we focus on helping leaders do their jobs better, more ethically, more responsibly, more productively, it downstream helps all of us. We want companies to run well, right? When they run well, they tend to do less awful things. So, that to me has always been what good governance is about. It's the thing that still gets me up in the morning and gets me to go do these kinds of conversations.
You mentioned personalities and dynamics. You spend a significant amount of time at Diligent on training and education, including through the Corporate Director podcast, which where you're the voice of modern governance, and Diligent Institute's conferences. What advice do you have for board members or those advising boards to continue to stay educated? And how can advisors use storytelling to help boards focus on the most important issues and the right questions for their company's specific circumstances?
So there's a lot to unpack there. So let me start with just, keeping educated, right? I mean, again, the board director job is only getting harder. It's not getting easier. I mean, I'll just give an example, right? 20 years ago, you would never have seen a group of board members sitting around a board table talking about cyber risk or talking about AI, unless they happened to be at Google. Like, maybe they were talking about it at Google, maybe at Apple. But really, most boards, that wasn't even on the radar. They were still just very focused on financial performance, financial risk, having a nice round of golf and a dinner and calling it a day. That is so far from what governance looks like today. It's become really a professional job. And I don't mean that it's the same as management, but I do mean that it's an incredibly challenging job that requires a lot of education. And let's face it, a lot of board members are no longer operating professionals. They tend to be re retired executives who have had a long and storied career and are now very desirable as board members because they've got a lot of experience, they've got a lot of connections, they can bring a lot to the table, but they're not in the trenches anymore. I'm sorry, but having been the CEO of a tech company 7 years ago doesn't make you a tech expert anymore, right? Tech moves too quickly. So you have to keep your knife sharp. You've got to keep going. Most directors I know spend a lot of their time doing education. They find courses, they find certification programs, they go to conferences, they spend a lot of time reading, they watch a lot of podcasts, they watch a lot of webinars, videos. There's a lot out there to help educate directors, but it's incredibly important to do it. So for Diligent, and especially for Diligent Institute, we really think about what are the topics that maybe don't get enough air cover? Like every university has a great Directorship 101 program. So does the, NACD. Others have all these great programs. But, the space that we play in at Diligent, it's very much like the tech space. It's very cutting edge. It's very forward-looking. So we tend to kind of focus our energy in a lot of those areas, right? So we have a certification program on AI ethics and board oversight. And that was one that we really felt passionately needed to exist because there's a lot at stake to get AI right. We all have lived through the horror that has become social media. I don't think any of us want a redo of that. And AI is faster, scarier, has a lot more potential and a lot more risk. And so it's incredibly important to get that right. So having directors really up their game, making sure they're keeping current on what's new, you leveraging that long storied career and that experience, but then keeping it going, like that lifelong learning approach is really important. And your other question was about storytelling. I mean, look, let's face facts, right? If people listen to this podcast, the thing they're going to remember are the stories we talk about, right? It's just how the human brain is wired. We have to do a good job of telling compelling stories that are memorable and repeatable. Otherwise, people don't really learn. I mean, it's how we learn is to hear good stories. I mean, so our approach for Diligent Institute, when we do our certification programs or our conferences, is how can we unearth those stories that really help people to learn something new? I'll go back to the AI ethics program, for example. We created a set of AI thought experiments, which are stories about fake companies that are going through some type of ethical dilemma involving AI. And the purpose of that is to get people just to sort of think differently. Like, how would I approach this? What tools would I want to have in place? What conversations would I want to have? What expertise would I need to leverage in order to address this issue? And we have found those to be very, very popular, but also very powerful because it gives people a chance to practice when it's very low risk. There's no stakes involved, right? It's all a fake company, it's all a fake scenario. But the things they learn about themselves and the things they learn about where they might need a little more education or they don't really fully understand a particular area, it's way better to know that when you don't need it. So that's the power of good storytelling. You know, you tell a good story. It's memorable, repeatable, and it really does help help you get educated.
It is, and it's so much better than just digesting information because you can
Right.
read something and kind of half be paying attention, and there is so much out there, and Diligent and you do a really good job of bringing the practical to the person.
Well, thanks for that, Courtney. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You've been a speaker for us, so I'm going to be calling you again.
Yeah. Courtney's here to put in her plug. Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously Diligent is so well known, and there's a reason why it's very well used and well liked among the corporate governance crowd and with directors and boards. And I totally agree too with the learning by doing is, leaps and bounds above just sitting in a lecture. So we've talked a little bit about all of these emergent technologies, and they are really changing the entire playing field for a lot of companies, if not all companies. Are you seeing any common governance frameworks and ethical guardrails that boards in different types of companies should be thinking about adopting right now to consider all stakeholders and to protect the company, but also still, like you said, take advantage of these potential opportunities that these new technologies might present?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of really good frameworks and guardrails out there depending on the situation we're talking about, right? So if we're talking about
Yeah.
things like sustainability, obviously there's a lot out there. If we're talking about AI, it's still kind of early days, I would say, but there are some really helpful frameworks. I would say one of the things that's particularly helpful is to take a little time and read some of the materials around the EU AI Act. A lot of thought and time went into that piece of legislation, and it's now the law of the land in the EU. But it also gives a very helpful framework around, thinking about the development of AI and what are some of the things that are good to do and what are some of the things that really sh you should never do. So that's really useful. I would also say NIST has put together a great AI framework, and it's a good starting point. Again, you need to really adapt any of these to your specific circumstance and your company. And in my opinion, the most useful thing of a framework is to have a good conversation with your leadership, right? It's not, you don't just take it, fill in your name and
Yeah.
send it somewhere. It's a way to have a great conversation around what do we want to be true about us?
Yeah,
Here are the
that's
things
a
that we're,
great point.
yeah. So I think that's really important. I apologize, but what was the rest of your question, Liz?
Ethical guardrails, governance frameworks that can
Yeah.
help protect all stakeholders, but still allow innovation.
Yeah, and so I'll go back again to our AI ethics program. One of the things we felt very passionately about when we were doing that program was that there's a certain province that directors should inhabit that really is important to keep straight from what management should do, right? So you don't need the board to be a room full of data scientists and chief AI officers. You don't need that. But what you do need is for the board to ask the right questions in the right moment, for them to challenge management to provide the correct data and information that's keeping the company on the straight and narrow. And they need to know when things are going off the rails, how do we get it back on? And they need to have that visibility on when things are going off the rails, right? I'll just give an example. sometimes I'll spend time talking to compliance officers, and they say with great frustration and a deep sigh how much they hate it when a board member says, hey, it's really great. We never get any calls on the whistleblower hotline. That's not good news, people. That is not good news. Like you should be getting calls on the whistleblower hotline, because if you're not, it doesn't mean that you're squeaky clean and there's no problems. It means people are afraid to come forward, because there's always problems. Like things always go wrong, right? And clearly what you want is a culture where people feel comfortable and responsible and accountable, and they come forward and say, like, here's something I don't understand, or here's something that made me scratch my head a little, or here's something I think is actually really bad. And you want that to be happening. The same thing is true with AI, right? We need to have these guardrails in place to ensure that we know what the technology is doing. We are continually monitoring to make sure that it's still doing the thing we thought it was doing yesterday. Because that's the thing about generative AI, right? It drifts. It doesn't. It's not a static thing. It's constantly evolving, and so you can't just set it and forget it. It's a constant, ongoing process. And then we also need to go back and revisit our policies. I'll just give a quick data point. We did a report just last month on how directors are using AI in their board work. First of all, we learned that a lot of them are, which I think was maybe a surprise. This was of US public company directors, and it was 66% of them said that they are already using AI to help them with board work. But only 22% of them have any type of AI usage policy in place. Yikes. I mean, there's a big opportunity. So, hey, if you work in a legal team in a company, if you're an in-house legal, like, get ahead of this thing. They're using it. They're using it with or without you, with or without your knowledge. They're using it. So get ahead of it and make sure that they understand what the risks are, what's the appropriate usage, what's inappropriate usage, and why. And help them. Give them the right tools. Give them the right guardrails and guidance around how they should be doing this better.
I think a number of companies do have AI policies and they train the employee base. They just don't think, oh, we need to
Not the
also
board.
then train the board.
Exactly. And I mean, here's the thing, right? We are all creatures of convenience. Let's call it what it is, right? And I'm sorry, if you hand me a 1,000-slide board deck, I'm gonna want to get that summarized. And you might not love that. That might not be great for me or for you, but I'm gonna do it because I don't have time to read a 1,000-slide deck. So I mean, it's, we're all creatures of convenience. So I think just making sure you've got the right tools in place, you've got someone really, putting a human in the loop. So there's human oversight there. There's someone checking to make sure, is the summary that they're reading factually correct? Because we all know AI hallucinates. Has someone looked at it to say, no, that is in fact what's in the report. That does hold up. That does make sense. And then everybody's happy. And then having the policies and the education about the policies, to your point, not just for the staff, but also for the senior management team and for the board. Quite frankly, they're the ones that could do the most harm because they have access to the most sensitive information. So we don't really want them loading their board books into the free version of ChatGPT and sharing it with Planet Earth. Not a good idea. Let's make sure we do this better.
So, your research at Diligent Institute has generated significant data on board behavior and priorities. In addition to cyber and AI, which we've been talking about, what are the major topics you've seen in board agendas over the last few years, and which of those should governance bodies prioritize now?
I mean, there's a lot. One of the things I would say is there's sort of a list of perennial topics that are always important that sometimes get sort of a fresh look because things are challenging, right? And one of the big ones is really capital allocation and growth. We're in this really odd cycle where the markets are really volatile, and yet the price of gold is really high. So people are afraid we're about to enter into a recession. We have trade policy that's changing kind of on a minute-by-minute basis. It's things are very complex. And so understanding in that kind of an environment where we should be allocating resources becomes really challenging, right? Because capital allocation, and especially like CapEx, we want to do a big project that might take 3 to 5 years. How do we invest in that right now? Like, do we even know what's going to happen with tariffs 3 to 5 years from now? It's really complex. So those kinds of strategic decisions, that's been a big topic this year. And of course, downstream from that, trade policy, supply chain, all those things that spiral off of that, those have all been big topics this year. The other sort of big area that keeps coming up is around talent. And it comes up in a lot of different places, right? So, in the guise of AI, and I'll just give an example, how much of our workforce in the future will be human? And by the way, we're in this now, this really interesting new cycle where, we've dealt with robotics for 40 years. It's not that. It's very soon we're going to have humans reporting to robots. Like that's not a sci-fi statement. That's a real thing where you're going to have agentic AI running whole divisions of things and humans reporting to that agentic AI. That we don't really have playbooks for this stuff. You're going to potentially have boardroom AI, right? I mean, Diligent is obviously investing heavily in creating tools within Diligent boards that are AI driven. But it's not going to be very long before you have agentic AI for board members too, where you've got maybe a board member that is an AI. Maybe it's not a voting member, but it serves as a boardroom advisor. AI is throughout in-house legal now, as well as, law firms. There's a lot of AI in the legal profession. There's a lot of AI in the compliance profession, the financial profession, right? It's kind of everywhere. So workforce decisions and kind of workforce strategy has been a big topic for board members this year. Also, because we have to figure out how are we gonna, like, what's gonna happen to our career pathways? Think about it. Let's say we have someone who's just graduated from law school. Often you'd hire them, they'd come in as sort of a, new attorney. They would cut their teeth by looking up statutes and kind of digging into regulation and getting really smart about that stuff. And over time, they get, more up to speed on how does the company handle this issue. And pretty soon then they're eligible for a promotion and they can kind of go into a management role. Well, what happens when all the things I just listed are easily handled by AI? How do we train the humans to be leaders? We have to figure this stuff out. I don't know that anybody's got good answers yet, but I can tell you directors are talking about this a lot. And then they're also talking about whether or not they've got the right leadership in place to make these decisions. Because most CEOs I know are not AI experts, and they're not necessarily very well versed on some of the things that are coming. And it's happening so rapidly. We've never seen this pace of development or disruption. I mean, things, entire industries are going to be turned on their heads quickly and easily. And so I think there's a lot of concern about those issues, and that all spirals off of AI.
Yeah, a lot of uncertainty. As you mentioned earlier, there could be positive things to come out of it, but a lot of risks to think about as well. And that leads us into our final question that we ask most of our guests, which now that we are on the dawn of an AI era is kind of taking on a new dynamic, as you mentioned, because AI is also affecting career paths. And so, do you have advice for the next generation of women governance trailblazers, based on where we are today?
First of all, I'm very sorry because if you're a governance trailblazer, you're in for an interesting life, right? There's so much to unpack. There's so much going on. I often laugh. I think like, how did this become the thing that I'm really passionate about? It doesn't make any sense. Maybe because I have so many attorneys in my family. I'm not sure, but no, I'm being a little bit flip. I would say that the most important thing is just be a good student, be remain curious, remain very open-minded. And one of the, just like directors, right? You really can't rest on your laurels in this world. Things are moving so quickly, things are evolving so fast. We really can't rely on old assumptions anymore. All the assumptions are being questioned. And so I would say just stay a student, be a lifelong student, remain curious, keep digging, keep asking good questions, keep looking for the opportunities. There's lots of opportunity out there, but just keep going. I think that's probably the best advice. Just don't get stuck.
That's great advice. And it comes full circle to how your career began because you were just seizing an opportunity and look where you are now. That's amazing. Thank you so much for being here and joining us today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Liz and Courtney. So good to see you both, and thanks for the good conversation. All right, take care.
For those who are listening, we want to thank you as well. Please subscribe to the Women Governance Trailblazers podcast on whatever podcast platform you use, and we would love if you would rate us while you're there. And in addition, if you know a woman governance trailblazer who you think would be a great guest on this show, feel free to ping Courtney or me on either LinkedIn or by email.